comes to us from Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. We're going to be reading just the verses 4 through 9 of this chapter. Numbers 21, beginning at verse 4, what we hear now is God's word. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. The people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight in our study of the book of Numbers, we are actually taking a step back in time. Last week, we looked at the travel narrative of the people of Israel. And we saw last week that there was the beginnings of a more optimistic tone in the book. Last week's sermon, From Victory Unto Victory, God leading his people, preparing them to enter into the promised land. Tonight, we take a step back to pick up this particular section of the travel narrative. Traveling past Edom, after their victory at Hormah, and now this text about the serpents that would come and bring judgment upon God's people. I said in this last section of the book we're looking at, there's a more optimistic tone. Tonight, once again, the people grumble, but this is the last time. This is the last time that we read of the people grumbling in the book of Numbers. It's a story that is probably one of the more familiar in the book. The story of Moses raising up the bronze serpent on the pole. Perhaps that is because Jesus himself makes reference to this story. When Jesus speaks in John chapter 3, he says this, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The reference to Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, that is a reference to this story, children. And Jesus applies this act of Moses to himself. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. Jesus gives us, we might say, the definitive interpretation of this passage. As we have seen throughout the book of Numbers, there are many pointers, many shadows, many things that look forward to the coming of Christ. Jesus himself uses this text to point to himself as well. One might say, well, if the interpretation is so clear, Jesus gives it to us himself, why are we bothering to study this tonight? There is a beauty. There's a depth. There's a richness. When we take these Old Testament pictures and not just say, well, that applies to Christ, but it gives us a window into the work that Christ came to do, things we might otherwise overlook. And so we'll look together at this picture of Moses raising the serpent up in the wilderness to see the significance of the work of Christ and to see once again the glory of the gospel and how it blesses us in our lives. We read verse 4. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Remember last week, they would not engage the people of Edom because they were their brothers. They would not fight with them, but they're going around the land of Edom. And as they travel around Edom, we read, the people became impatient on the way. And as I mentioned, for the last time in the book of Numbers, we read, the people spoke against God and against Moses. They grumble in the wilderness. The first part of this series, we saw that over and over again. This is the last time. Remember, this is the second generation. These are the children. They have learned from their parents how they respond when they become impatient, when they become discouraged, as their parents did. They now grumble against God and grumble against Moses. We've seen in the past that when they complain, like they do here, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food. There is no water. We loathe this worthless food. In the past, when they've grumbled about no water, God has provided water. When they've grumbled about no food, God has provided food. That is not what he does here. They have seen the provision of God. They have seen the care of God in their own lives, in the lives of their parents, in their lives as well. And after seeing that again and again and refusing the food God has given to them, we don't like the food that you've given to us, God. God now comes not with provision for his people, but he comes with judgment on his people. Verse 6. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. God sends fiery serpents. There is a suggestion they were called fiery serpents because when the serpent would bite, that bite would burn in your flesh. It was painful. It hurt them. And many of them died. I imagine this like a terrible horror film as the people are gathered in the camp and they see these serpents coming toward them, the fiery serpents, and their brothers and sisters are being bitten and they are dying. This is the judgment of God upon his people. Their sin brought forth this judgment. They'd be afraid. Afraid of the snakes, afraid of being bit. Their sin would cause them fear of the judgment that God was bringing. How do we think about our sin? The fact that our sin is an offense against a holy God. The fact that we've known God's care, we've known his provision over and over and over again, and yet so many times we choose to grumble against God's ways. We push back against living in the ways God has called us to, trusting in him. We should have a proper fear of that type of sin. Unfortunately, all too often, rather than fearing our sin and the consequences of our sin, we make peace with our sin. We get comfortable with our sin. The bites that were inflicted hurt the people. They hurt. Do we sense the hurt of our sin? that it is something which eats away at our soul, eats away at our relationship with God. This bite would not only cause pain, this bite would cause death. Anticipating what Scripture says later, that the wages of sin is death. And we've seen that. We see that throughout the Scriptures. Already back in the Garden of Eden, in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will surely die. The wages of sin is death. Oh, if perhaps in our lives, not physical death, the death of relationships. Our sin brings death between husband and wife when we don't treat each other as God has called us to. When we don't follow God's ways, we go our own way. The relationship between parent and child can be hurt, can be broken, can be killed because of our sin. The relationship of brother and sister, our relationship to God. If we remain unrepentant and refuse to confess our sins and our need for a Savior, that the punishment for that sin is death, like a serpent's bite. We are called to recognize our sin. We are called to acknowledge our sin. It is that recognition of the seriousness of our sin that it leads to death. Once we recognize that, we see that we must turn to God once again. Turn to Him and look to Him to provide us with life. That's what Israel does. Verse 7. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." The acknowledgement of their sin was the first step in being restored to life. We have sinned. We have spoken against God. Moses, we have spoken against you. Pray for us. Intercede for us. Speak to God on our behalf. And God provides an intercessor. Moses prayed for the people. And we see here in this passage, not only is the fiery serpent going to be a picture of Jesus, but Moses continues his role as a picture of the work of Christ. Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. He prays for them. Jesus Christ, in His role as high priest, is our great intercessor. We read that this morning from 1 John. He is one who speaks to the Father in our defense. We pray to God in the name of Jesus. And for the sake of Jesus, God hears our prayers. Just like He heard the prayers of Moses on behalf of Israel. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Looking to the serpent. Looking to this fiery serpent set up on the pole was literally the difference between life and death. To refuse to look, the serpent would bite and the person would die. They had but to look at the serpent and they would live. The difference between life and death, looking to the bronze serpent on the pole. That's what Christ has done for us. literally the difference between life and death. To refuse to look to Him is to remain in our sin and die. But to look to Him is to look to the one who gives life to His people. If we minimize our sin, we minimize the work of Christ, we don't look to Him, we say it's not that bad. But it's the difference between life and death. And there are a number of things we could notice about this serpent set on the pole. One of the things we see is what our text says. And anyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. There was an immediacy in the work of being brought back to life. The text gives us the picture. Once they looked, immediately they would be healed. Immediately they would live. They would not have to wait and see if God would do what He had promised. They would not have to wait and see if they would get better. They looked and they would live and be well. When we look to Jesus Christ as our only hope in our life of sin, when we turn to Him, set our eyes upon Him and what He has done, there is an immediacy. Jesus immediately washes us from all our sins. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to wait and see, will God actually forgive me? When we come to God in confession, in repentance, He forgives for the sake of Jesus Christ. And He forgives right away. Tonight, if you are here hearing this message of the gospel for the first time, you don't have to leave and say, I wonder if God would actually forgive me. When you turn to Him, when you look to the cross, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. There is an immediacy in the work. There's an immediacy in the life that we are given. There's an immediacy. There's also an exclusivity. Moses did not say, look, God's going to provide a way for you to be healed from this. You all go and you make your own snake or something else. Maybe you like a rabbit instead. You pick. You make something, you set it up, and you do the work, and then if you look to that, God will heal you. There was an exclusivity. Look to this one appointed means and no life. This was God's one way of healing them. This was God's one way of giving them life. There were not many ways. There were not many choices. There were not many options. This was it. And so it is with Jesus Christ. There is one way to life. There are not many paths to God. You pick and choose whichever one suits you best. That's what we hear nowadays. All roads lead to God. You pick the God of your choice. All roads lead to Him. There's an exclusivity in the gospel. And that's what makes the gospel so offensive. As long as Jesus is a way to God, people are content with that. He can be a way to God. But when we say He is the way, He is the only way, that becomes offensive. And were He not who He said He was, it would be offensive. But He is the one true, eternal Son of God, the one sent to accomplish salvation for His people. Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone is the way of salvation. They could not look to anything except this bronze serpent raised up on the pole. This was the one way God had provided for them. Now, what do you think, kids? Was there something magic in that serpent on the pole? Do you think that there was something in that figure itself, that it was the serpent on the pole that brought people healing? Israel eventually would begin to think that way. We read in 2 Kings chapter 18, when good King Hezekiah is removing the altars in the high places, 2 Kings 18, he removed the high places, broke down the pillars, cut down the Asherah, and he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the people of Israel had made offerings to it. They thought there was something magic in that bronze serpent. It was not the bronze serpent itself. It was looking to the serpent in faith, believing that God would do what he said he would do. That was what brought the healing. Not that bronze serpent, but their belief in the Word of God. Their trust in the faithfulness of God. Everyone who looks and sees it shall live. And they believed that word. It was faith in the Word of God that would save them. Jesus, when he references this in John 3, as the Son of Man, as Moses lifted the serpent up, so the Son of Man lifted up, the very next verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish." It is by faith in Jesus Christ that we have life. It is by faith in his finished work, that which he has accomplished for us. God calls us to put our faith and trust in him, in what he has done. That is the call of the gospel again tonight. To put your faith in Jesus Christ and know life. Know the forgiveness of all of your sins. Recognize your sin. Acknowledge your sin. And look away from yourself. Look to the cross. Look to Christ. Look to what he has done in faith, trusting and believing. Oh, we are saved by the grace of God alone, but through the instrument of faith. It is that instrument whereby we appropriate all these blessings, all these gifts that God gives to us. Look to Jesus Christ in faith and know life. Oh, it's a beautiful text. It's a beautiful picture. The images really pop off the page at us. These fiery serpents, a death sentence for God's people because of their sin. But God provides one way of salvation, looking up to the serpent on the pole. God provides us with one way of salvation. Looking to the finished work of Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Looking at what he has done for us in faith that we might know life as well. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you and we praise you for your word, for all of the stories in your word. These glorious Old Testament pictures that point us forward to the work of your Son. Lord God, if we have not put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if we are still lost in our sin under that death sentence, then move our hearts today. Give us that gift of faith whereby we might embrace Jesus Christ and know life, life now and life forever. Thank you, O God, for the finished work of Christ and the assurance that for all who look to him, we will live with him forever. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake.
Amen.